start at the beginning of the month with that wonderful expression of the love of Christ. Then we move on last Sunday to the definition of love. Not like philosophy will determine or tell us, but we look upon the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 and found through the pen of the Apostle Paul. It's interesting that when Paul chose to write about love, he wrote to people of Greece who were mainly philosophers in their own mind, and they have their own criteria. And Paul wrote by the inspiration of God what God really says. Now I'm going to close the series on love because the following week and the week that follow, Pastor Thompson will take my place. I will be checking the water in Mexico, see if the water is good or not. But I think every 4 or 5 months I take a break. And what I do, I read maybe 7, 8 books in my vacation. This time was going to be a little different. We will have Jacqueline with us. And Jacqueline already emailed me all the places that we need to see. But I like to quietly sit down and read and write and talk to people. And Raquel by my side, she's sick today. And very, very sick on, you know, any little thing that happened on flu or whatever goes into her bronchioles. And it is a drama. Thank God that we have good doctors who take care. And we hope that she will be much better. And Mexico is warm the way she likes it, 110, 115. So she takes a sweater, though, with her, because in case of, but it's good. We are on 1 John chapter 3, and I hope you are in your Bible in 1 John chapter 3. If you are using the Bible that is in the pew, I will give you, if I move away from John chapter 3, I will give you the page number so that you can know where to look for the scripture. Now, in this passage of the scripture, John, who by this time is 105 or 106 years old, deals with the topic and how we are to suppose to love one another. We have our own criteria and idea, but here is the scripture criteria and the scripture rules and how to love one another. And it's good to have these things so you can look upon and see if you're really loving the other person in the way that God established. So first, I'm going to talk about the message that is here. Then there is a methodology, the method of doing so. Then the meaning, why God bring this out. And then the purpose, the target that God have. He is going to use your love and my love to do something. And so it's vital. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes you a Christian, regardless who you are, Chinese, European, Asian, whatever you are, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes you a Christian. This is very important because this is one way to testify to other people about who God is. It's easy to talk, don't it? We can talk, for, at least for me, for Jacqueline, for example. It's easy for us to talk. But it's hard to live the Christian life. And this passage is talking about doing something in order to be a great witness. Let's work together, all right? First is the message. That's in verse 11. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, page 1330, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. The first thing I noticed as I read it is that this is not a new thing or a new idea for us. Look at what the Bible says. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. See, this is not a new idea. This is not something new now for us Greek people. This is not something new for the Europeans now that the gospel moves from Israel all the way to Europe. This is not something new. This is from the beginning. In other words, God's not changing his mind about this. God do not have a set of rules before, and now he's changing. He says clearly here, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning. In other words, this is the standard that God has used. Now, I thought that the method may change, but not the message. For example, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, page 1297. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Look at what the scripture said, how you share the message. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that you have heard from me, said Paul to Timothy, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that's a personal sharing. That's a method. When I sit at McDonald's to talk to somebody, I'm just doing that. I'm just talking eye to eye to some person. The things that I have in my heart, I just pass it on to this other person. That's one method, one-to-one. And there are people who are very skilled in doing that one-to-one. Takes a lot of skill because demands tremendous patience. All right, to be a teacher, one of the qualities of a teacher, a good teacher, is patience. The first time you teach something, the people will not get it. I know that. But maybe by the 10th time you teach it, people get an idea. Now, somebody said, no, cannot be. But that's the way it is. You read the newspaper, you get a glance, but you read it again, and you notice things you didn't before. And that's what happened here. Timothy used that. Paul used that method with Timothy, one-to-one. I pass it to you, you get another person, one-to-one. That's one method. Now, let's go to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, verse 1 and 2, page 1204. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and verse 2. And here's another method. The same message, but it's another method. And by the same man, by the way, by the Apostle Paul. Look at what the Bible says. Acts 17, in verses 1 and 2, page 1204. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, that's in Greece, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Synagogue is an assembly, a place of assembly, all right, together. And look at what happened. Then Paul, as his custom was. So here's a man who talked one-to-one, but now the Bible revealed that he's a man who talked to many. Went into them, and for three Sabbath reasoned with them from the scripture. So here we have a different method, the same message. You can talk to an individual, you are teaching. You can talk to a congregation. This different method, but it is the same teaching. So going back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 said, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning. The message never changed. What really changed is the methodology. And then he said that we shall love one another. Now, what was the message? Very simple. The message was not that we should tolerate one another. That's a different word, don't we? Tolerate one another. Toleration has restrictions. Toleration, people who tolerate other people, they're proud people. They feel superior. But we get this toleration. The message was not that we should avoid one another. Some people said, I'm upset with this person. So when I go to church, I try to sit in another place not to see that person. I, as a pastor, have heard that. That's very bad, don't you? You think it made me happy? You know, I live in this neighborhood, but I Don't talk to that person over there. I just pass by, I say hi, but that's it. That's the only thing I do. So the message, that's not from God. That's from the pride of your heart, not from God. So the message was not that we should despise one another. Now, look here. The Bible says that we should love one another. That's it. The sermon then is love one another. We should love one another. That's not an option. That is God's word. That's not referring to matrimony or to parental love. Refers to every occasion. We should love one another. Now, you need to be aware, people are entirely different than you are. I mean, entirely different. The background you have makes you different. The race you are makes you different. The work you have makes you different. The places you have been makes you different. The education you have makes you different, and so on. You know, people who are in the military, they're trying to be very rigid in their life. Yeah, I understand that's the way they spend their life, especially they spend 30, 40 years. And then I need to love them, all right? Chemistry professors are very intolerant. You know, I have one that when the professor came in, the flies went away. that kind of lady she was. And I went to my daddy, and I said, "Daddy, what do I do?" And he said, "You study in that class more than you ever study in your life, and she will love you." I said, "But, you know, I don't like her." "Oh, that's your trouble. It's not that you don't like chemistry. You don't like the style of that lady. But she's a chemistry engineer. That's what chemistry engineers are so narrow. They work all day in a lab. They have no contact with people. Understand. And just make her happy. And you know how you make her happy? By study and get over there. We don't get 100, we get 10. You get 10 in every exam, and she will smile." And the month went by, and she never smiled. I got my 10. At the end of the year, she smiled. I said, "That was good." But I never get in trouble because I wise counsel from my father and how to do it. So the message is, you love one another, no excuse. That's the message. The word "no excuse" I added, but that's what seems to me. There is no excuse. You love one another. Now from verses 12 to 16, he's going to give us the method. And first he starts with a negative in verse 12. And he tells us the kind of love that we should not have. Look at verse 12. Here Bible says in 1 John 3, in verse 12, "Not love one another." Not, that's negative. "As Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. It's an overall picture. Doesn't explain too much of what Cain did. So we go to the Bible, to the very beginning. To the page number 4 in your Bible, chapter 4 in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And I really like to read from verses 1 to 8. So you get an insight of this man Cain, and how the Bible said you should love one another, but not as Cain. So I really like to know how Cain loved so that I avoid it. Okay, let me read it for you. In 1 John 3, verse 12, it's a summary. In Genesis 4, 1 to 8, you have this story. Here it is. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, or have intimate relationship with his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.'" Just between parentheses, God told Eve that she will have redemption of her sin by a man that will be born from her. She never had a child, and so therefore, when Cain was born, she thought that Cain was the Messiah. All right, that's what she said. "Now I got the man." Now, verse 2. "Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep." He was a shepherd. "But Cain was a tiller of the ground. He worked in agriculture. In London, in England, the people working there are the Portuguese people. I was there and they showed me the Portuguese people. In America, were the Portuguese at the beginning and now the Mexican. All right? Was a tiller of the ground. Okay? All right. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now, somewhere, somehow, these boys are older and they receive instruction from Adam. And the instruction was that in order to justify their life, blood need to be shed. And God shed blood for Adam and Eve. Let me read it for you. They are there. In the Bible, in chapter 3, and let me see if I find the verse. In verse 20, say, and Adam called his wife named Eve because she was a mother of living. Also for Adam and his wife, here it is, verse 21, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. In order to have skins on your body, you need to kill an animal. And that was the first time that happened in the history of mankind. God himself killed an animal. Blood was shed and was covered. Some people said the sacrifice started with the Jewish people. Wrong. The sacrifice started with God. God killed an animal and covered Eve. Now, that instruction was given to Cain and was given to Abel. So going back to chapter 4, verse 3, in the process of time, Cain said, I'm going to worship God. Now, he knew better. That to worship God, you need to kill and offer that blood to God. But he didn't. Look at verse 3. Brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. I'm very sure that Cain got the best apple. I'm very sure the best potatoes from Idaho. He got the best of the best, and he brought it to God. That was not the instruction that God gave them through Adam. But he did. He was good intention, but no following instruction from God. Okay, verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. The Lord said, this man did right, this man did wrong. That's God, my friend. There is no meddle. There is no out-of-court settlement with God. God, you do what he said, or you are wrong. So now come the application of what verse 5 and 6 and 7 tells you what really happened. In verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. He was upset. He was mad. And you know, when somebody is upset, you can read it, all right? In verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, if you do what I said, you will be okay. Let's see what happened. And if you do not do well, if you do not do what I said, sin lies at your door. In other words, remember the word sin? I explained it a long time ago. The word is called no here. It's a Hebrew word. But if you put that word in Greek, it's called a, which means no, martia. Martia is to shoot and hit the target. Martia means to shoot and miss the target. Now, with that in mind, look at what God said right here in verse 6. Why are you angry? And your countenance have fallen. If you do well, if you will shoot in the way I told you, you will be accepted. In other words, if you said what you do, and you have sins, at verse 7, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. In other words, you shoot and you miss the target. Cain, you miss the target. Do what I said. Don't do the best of you. Don't do that. You miss the target. Do what I said. Somebody asked me in McDonald's the other day, how much money should I give in order to be a member of your church? I said, well, my lights come in. I know exactly what to say, but I said, how much money do you have? You know? And you see, we Latin American people, and the Mexican people too, which are no Latins, they are Mexican, they We were born under the Roman Catholic Church where you do things in order to please God. And if you're a Catholic, you remember that. That you do this and you do penance and you do this to please God. And so God is saying to Cain, Cain, I really don't want anything you do. I want just you to obey me. It's easy to do something ourselves than to obey God. That's the sinful mind that we have. Now look, it's interesting. Verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Rather than saying, okay, God, I will do this. Cain said, I know how to do this. I get rid of Abel and I'm okay. Look at here. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said, where is Abel? And the famous sentence, what you have done, is amazing. What is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. And then the famous sentence, am I my brother's keeper? So, well, who knows? And he knew about it. We talk in Sunday school today when people sin. It's just amazing. And so God said, going back to then, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, you cannot love in that way with pride. This is called pride. You do it my way or nothing. That's pride. God said this and you do different. You know why? Because you are proud. You want to be yourself. A man in McDonald's, you learn. I was sitting there and a man said, we talk English in America. Oh, thank you very much. I said, oh, you speak English? Yeah, a little bit. He said, well, this is America. And I was all around Mexicans. And I told the Mexicans like this because they want to get up and knock this guy down. I said, just let down. Sit down. I said, we're reading the Bible. He said, well, we don't read the Bible in America. I said, you say truth. Now it's truth. That's the problem with the American and with other countries. We don't read the Bible anymore. But they're proud. They're proud. And Cain, in verse 12, said, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, who did his own way. In other words, you don't love your brother in your own way. Wow. Now becomes different. Now is this. Now things getting hot. You do not love your brother in the way you want to. No, sir. That is not the way. So the kind of love that we should not have is a love full of jealousy and a love full of pride. We cannot have that. We cannot have a love in our own way. All right? Now, look in verse 13 to 14. The kind of love that we should have. You do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. So don't be in panic if you are different from the world. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abideth in death. So that is the kind of love that I should have. I need to love my brethren, period, regardless who you are, regardless if they have money or no money, regardless if they are well, if they have a top life or low life, regardless if they dress with a suit or just a shirt, regardless who they are, I just love my brethren, period. About 28 years ago, Russell and I met in the Coast Federal and Lawn, and Dr. McCormack, Mrs. McCormack, and another man was a pilot, now in the presence of the Lord. And we hold hands in that bank for the first meeting of our church. And Russell was a skill in electrical thing, but he was brilliant. And he said, Pastor, tell us why we are here, starting a church. Now, that was a great question. And I said, we are here to love one another. So I want to put it in my own word, he said. We are here to make a family. 20 years later, same man told me, we got it. Pastor, you can die. we got it. In other words, the goal that we have, we got it. We're a family. And we're going to love you regardless who you are and regardless what you do and regardless what troubles you have and difficulties you have. We're going to love you because God says so. There is no marked line. So go. And now look in verse 16 here. That kind of love does something. By these we know love, because he laid down his life for us. That's God. And we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He said, now, when you love unconditionally, you are reflecting something that you have received. Let me show it to you. If you're in John, you move your Bible to the right a little bit, to the book of Romans, that Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Just a little bit to the right. Excuse me, to the left in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 10. To explain what the apostle says concerning God. In chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says concerning the human race, as it is written, there is none righteous, not one. Not one. There is no one righteous. There is no one that by itself can stand before God and say, I'm so pure, I'm so clean, I have no sin, so that God will accept me. There is no one. And he give you a listing of all kinds of things. There is no one. Now, if you go to Psalm 53, page 664, Psalm 53, you will see what God says. Psalm 53. And look with me, verse 3. Psalm 53, I pass it. Okay, I get there. 52, 53. Psalm 53, verse 3. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. Not one. I was explaining this to a rabbi in San Francisco. You Jewish people are as wrong as Gentile people. Oh, he was upset. We are the children of God. No, you're not. Oh, boy, that blows their mind. We are the children of God. No, you're not. What you want is money control, the world control. You are full of pride until God touches your heart. God did. I'm a Jew from this and this race. No, I said, Paul told us a Jew is somewhere inwardly and not outwardly. Hey, who is Paul? A Jew. You know, this is so important. The kind of love, the evidence, belief. As God loved you. God loved me when I was nothing good in me. God loved you, like Psalm 53 says. Every one of them has turned aside. When I care less about God. When I don't have anything to do with God. When I say, I care less who is God. God is with his arms on me. Wow. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at here. Let's go to the right of your Bible, page 1322. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, page 1322. I want you to see this. This is fantastic. 1 Peter, if I ask James, 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 18. Here give us the key. Knowing that you were not redeemed, you were not brought back to God with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ. And so here it is. The Bible tells me, according to 1 John 3:16, because he laid down his life for me. In other words, for me to worship God, for me to say the God of the Bible is my God, someone has to die who has to be perfect. Someone has to shed his blood on my behalf. And so God, in 1 John 3:16, is telling us we ought to lay down our life for others. That kind of love, that kind of mechanism should be in our mind. If God when I was yet a sinner, shared his love that guided me to believe that Jesus died and shed his blood for me. When I care less about that, when I do not have anything to do with God, if God moved my mind and my heart and show me his love, even though when I rejected him, I should have that kind of love for my brother and my sister. Now that's tough, don't it? There are members of your family that perhaps you are affected with. I have dealt with in counseling through radio with people who said, well, we want to meet with you, but if I go over there, my brother will not come. Or if this brother go over there, the other brother will not come. That is, I'm superior to you, or you have done something to me, and that's it. And God said, you love them, and you love with the, you know, you love the unbeliever with compassion. You know, it's just a dramatic situation. What do you do with people? You just love them and you share the gospel and you pray for them. Oh, if God will touch their heart and see the truth of God and the beauty of God like God did to me. And don't be proud. The reason why you believe is because God moved his life and touched you. And then you say, wow. This is true. Not because you were intelligent. Not because you were American or Italian or Japanese. No, because God loved you. Somebody asked me, why are you saved? Expecting to say, oh, I'm a doctor. No, I said, I'm saved because God loved me. And he loved me when I played soccer and I care less about God. I only want to win and see good-looking girls. That's all. You know, you're 18, 19. What do you know about life? Zero. But God, what a patience he had. What a patience he had. They will send a missionary from America to talk to me in a locker room. What a patience that's God had. I don't know how you became a believer, but think in the moments prior and after. Switch like that. God will send you a friend. God will send you a companion. God will send you a co-worker. And that co-worker was so good that he showed to you the love of God in their life, and you became delighted. All right? The method is, I love people like God loves me. God loves me before. Well, let's go to Romans 5:8, if you want to. And I show you something so important in that chapter 5 of Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. How important is Romans 5 in your life? It has to be very important. But God, said the Bible in my New King James Version, demonstrate his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God doesn't have to do anything else to save me. He has done this. Now, the only thing he has to do is move my head through that. And that's what the Word of God does and the Spirit of God does. Get you, everybody in different way, God moves you. So that's the method. Now, going back to 1 John chapter 3, what's the meaning? Verse 17 to 19. Well, the meaning is compassionate love. But whoever has these world goods and see his brother in need, and shut out his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? That's compassion. All right? Look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, that is a caring love. And by these we know that we are the truth, and shall assure the hearts before him. In other words, I'm in a very difficult spot in the church. I receive calls. Calls. I need this. I need the other. And according to this, I need to show those people that the church really loves. But I need to know if this is a need or is somebody trying to squeeze something with me. So there is an association. There is a union of people who ask. They're organized. And they know how to do it. So I said, I'm going to use my skills. When they call, I'm going to find out. So every month I change my donation. Last month was gasoline. So I'm sorry, this month we only have money for gasoline. And people say, oh, we need gasoline. Give us $20. No, no, I said, you bring your car, and I go with you to the pump, and I do it. So at what time you're at work? Well, at 9. But I come at 7:30, but there are people waiting with their car. So I said, I only can feed one. So tell me, where do you do? You have job, no job. What's your name? Where's your security number? 2 or 3 left. And one down. Okay, I said, oh, now sit down in my office and write down what do you do for leaving. And this, they leave. Okay, wait for the next day. In other words, I make it harder to find out the truth because your money. It's not my money. If I lose money myself, but if I lose your money, I'm accountable to God for every penny you put in the offering. And so I'm trying to fulfill this verse in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word and tongue, but indeed also, but I'm trying to do it wisely and according to the need. And every month we share 400, 500, 600. Sometimes we'll do 3,000 and 4,000 according to the need. One time we have people that buy meal pizzas. I guess Joey brought it in. A lady who needs something. And we help you if it's a need because we are compelled by the Bible. And God always provides, you know that? We have missionaries who need a car. So the only thing you have to tell me is, where is the dealer that you're going to buy the car? And the dealer will call and say, just keep the car, we send you the money. And we have done. And took me just a meeting, $7,000, $8,000 raised like that, because you have love. You people in this congregation have love. And I was able to exercise God's love and make me a $1 million pastor. I walked by the other pastor really proud. Because you, it's not because of my degrees, it's because you have changed your life to love. All right. Now, what is the purpose of this? What is it? John Gospel chapter 13 and verse 35 will tell you the purpose. Why God wants us to love in this fashion. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, and in verse 35. Look at what God says. He said this, in this shall all know that ye are my disciples. Oh, I need to wear something with the degree where I come from. No. John 13, 35. And these shall all know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. When a church love one another, then the people know that these church are believers. These are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. People do not know if we are believers or not by having a new building. As a matter of fact, some people get turned off by that. The people will know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ if we love each other as God loves us. Not with conditions, not with premeditations in our mind, just love us. I tell you this from all my heart, and this is personal. Raquel can do anything she wants to. I will die loving her. She knows it. Because this is what the scripture teaches. This is what the scripture teaches. Take a mother here in the congregation. And that mother will love one of all her children to die for them. That's a great love. The love of a mother. There is no one mother in this congregation, on the audience, or in the overflow room, they will say, well, no, I will do this for this child, but not for the other. A true mother will die for a child. God died for you. He sent his son to bring the blood to cover you. It's not by coming to church that you get justified. No, this is a regular church service. It's by you standing before God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful unto me. That really you stand before God. Don't be afraid to say that. You will not have a God like Pastor Otero asking you questions. You will not have a God like Pastor Otero asking you social security. You will have a God who said, come and rest in my arms. But in life, in real life, may you love your children, regardless what they do. You know, it's easy to love when they're little, but you almost can't tell you what they're going to be. And then when they grow, they take different direction. You love them in every direction they take. You love them. You love them. Because that shows those children that you love God. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson on love. It is a compassion lesson. It's a lesson that brings us back to basis. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to love those who are around us with true love. Exactly as you love us. Take away our pride. Take away, Lord, what sometimes the things that we premeditate in our life. And give us a love for our family. A love for each other in the congregation. So the people in the world may know that truly we love God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Paid up in
You got the man today. All right. Yeah. Good boys. And we're going to have a business meeting after the service. We all invited. There's no secret in this church. Whether you are a member, a friend, papers will be passed. We'd like people to see it. There is nothing to hide.